Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Could this be more dated? Wow!
Technically, yes, it could.
You know, John Tesh had cancer. I don't know if you knew that. Apparently survived. That's always good. This is Wretched Radio. The man who wrote that theme song is John Tesh right there. Wrote it 30 years ago, but that's how current we are here at Wretched Radio. And I hit my post.
Wow.
The reviews are sort of in. It's sweeping the Christian landscape. People wondering, is it worth the time or is it not? Hey, the price seems to be right. It's free. Courtesy of VidAngel, I believe. They have released all the episodes, season one of The Chosen. It is the miniseries about the life of Jesus Christ, The Chosen One, of course, the Messiah. And the reviews overall haven't been all that critical. There have been some critiques of it, but overall, when I asked last week, if you've seen it, send a review. If you know of a review that's thorough, please send it to idea@wretched.org. And guess what? You did. There were some quibbles here and there. There was one person who said the missus just didn't like the whole idea of the story about Jesus being embellished in any way, shape, or form. I get that, don't you? Well, for her, it was too much, so she didn't want to watch it. He liked it. Nobody, it seems, has found anything that you could say it is so theologically off that it's heretical and it should be shunned. In fact, overall, the reviews have been quite positive, and yet there are some things that you should consider, especially regarding issues of conscience, before you watch The Chosen. This is courtesy of Michelle Leslie. She wrote a very lengthy, it's like 16 pages long. She went through each and every one of the episodes, and she was very wise in her preamble. And this goes for all of us. If there's something about watching a show about the life of Jesus Christ or anything biblical, frankly, that is even a sanctified imagination, you've got to be really careful. This isn't just true for TV series on the internet. It's also true from the pulpit. Anytime the pastor says, I don't think it's far-fetched for us to think that Jesus could have been. No, it might not be far-fetched. I'm just telling you. When those types of comments are made, it is automatically dicey territory. I'm not saying it's forbidden territory. I'm just saying anytime you add to Scripture, you're entering into the Kenny Loggins zone. Be very, very careful what you say somebody might have said or what they may have done. Or this could have been going on at this time. Now, there are times it's appropriate, but we just need to understand when somebody endeavors to try to create a TV series where, for the most part, it's not Bible quotes. The Chosen is not just, here's John 1:1 in the beginning. Now, it is much more of a story. The first episode, we don't get introduced to Jesus until a few minutes before the end. My understanding is the second episode is the exact same way. You meet all of these other characters, and then you get to see Jesus. And then I think in episode 5, whatever, it's at the very, you get to meet John the Baptist. Is it done in chronological order? No, it's not. They're trying to tell a story. Therefore, Michelle Leslie very wisely saying, if that sort of thing bothers you, then it's probably not for you. If you think that any embellishment is a sin, don't watch it, because that's basically what it is. Now, overall, my understanding is there are no theological issues that are of concern. There's going to be some phrasing. There's going to be some depictions. There's maybe some signs that in the future there might be some other issue, at least one issue. But based on the first season, it seems sound. if you believe that depictions of Jesus are a Second Commandment violation, clearly you're not going to be able to watch this. If you are offended by the thought of Jesus kidding around with his friends and doing other normal, non-sinful things humans do, don't watch it. Now, my understanding is it's not intended to be a yucks fest. There's some joking that goes around, there's some kidding that goes on. And quite honestly, I have to confess to you, I like that. There's one scene that I think was a bad joke. According to the review, it was just a bad joke. In fact, I think it was a really bad joke. Was it a disqualifying joke? I don't think so. But I think Jesus had a sense of, no, I know he had a sense of humor. He demonstrates it even in the Gospels. There's no question about it. It's a first century Semitic sense of humor, but nevertheless, it is. He has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. It's always appropriate. It's always right. It's never bawdy. It's never double entendre. It's never at the expense of people. It's good humor. And Jesus shows that. There's some kidding around that happens. Why? Jesus Christ, fully God, but also fully man. So many of these depictions about Jesus. I remember, was it Jeffrey Hunter? What? Okay, the boy, the son, who's... Not a boy anymore. What's the name? He was the kid in Ordinary People. Haven't really seen what he's been up to in the last 30 or 40 years. Hunter, he's an actor. His dad played the role of Jesus. Look up Ordinary People, Joey. The name of the kid in that with Mary Tyler Moore and Donald Sutherland and Judd Hirsch. I can think of everybody but the kid I want to think about. His dad played Jesus in a movie from maybe the 70s. Tab Hunter. Was it Tab Hunter? Thank you.
Yeah, wasn't it?
He had that look.
Yes.
Like he was utterly from a different place. Always saying things that must be divine because nobody talks like this or looks with that empty gaze as if he's got some sort of mystical connection with the heavens. Fully human. And this Jesus is portrayed that way. If that troubles you, don't watch it. If you have a difficult time separating a Bible fact from fiction, which is the vast majority of The Chosen.
You mean Timothy Hutton?
Watch it. Timothy Hutton.
Yes. That's
okay, so
fact.
It's not Tab Hunter.
No, that's
so Timothy,
fiction.
What's Timothy Hunter's dad's name
Hutton?
Then?
I don't know, I but so. Timothy Hutton is known for all sorts of stuff. He was big in the 80s.
Yeah, look up his
acting.
Dad. I'm pretty certain his dad played one of those Jesus roles from the 60s or 70s. No?
Jim Hutton?
Yeah, Jim Hutton was his dad. He was
there
a Green Beret
Tab
with
Hunter,
John Wayne.
Jim Hutton, John Wayne, whatever. The point is, Jesus was fully God, fully man. This one is played very much like you get to meet Jesus, the man, as people would have. Episode 1. These are some of the things that Michelle points out that she was aware of, that she was a bit critical of. You might be more critical one way or another. Did you know that Matthew, the tax collector and disciple of Jesus Christ, that he had Asperger's syndrome? No, you didn't. But in a few interviews with Dallas Jenkins, he's the fellow who is the producer of this, The Chosen, mentioned they decided to play Matthew as having Asperger's, a choice that doesn't conflict with Scripture outright, but no indication anywhere in the Bible that he had Asperger's. Dallas Jenkins attributes this creative decision to the fact that Matthew is depicted in Scripture as a numbers guy, meticulous, and because he chose a job that made him a social outcast, which would be some of the markers of what the DSM-5 labels as Asperger's. Therefore, they put him in that category. Now, does the Bible teach that? No. Is that an embellishment? Absolutely. Is it sinful to do that? You would have to make that decision, just pointing out these are some of the things that were the critiques by Michelle. Episode 2. Jesus again shows up in the last few minutes of the episode, inviting himself to the Shabbat dinner of Mary Magdalene, a single woman. By the way, there's a couple of scenes where Mary Magdalene is just traipsing around with the disciples. More on her in a moment. Something that society that would not have happened. Nevertheless, I don't think this would have happened either. She's hosting it in her home. When they all get to the table, Jesus invites Mary to lead the ceremony prior to the meal. Not a chance. for multiple reasons. One, a rabbi is in your home. That's a no-brainer. Two, at that time, women playing that role would have been there. That would have been something that would have been a huge stumbling block for the Jews at that time. Very, very unlikely. And it would have been really, I think in this instance, a Shabbat dinner, even though this is still not quite the church era. Now, this would be a confusion in roles that I just don't think is a possibility. Mary demurs and says, no, now that you're here, you must do it. And Jesus replies, thank you, but this is your home, and I would love for you to do it. So Mary reads scripture, leads prayer, and offers the blessing. That's not a chance. Not a chance. Now, does that disqualify the movie or the series for you? You got to make that call. There is something in here that seems to be very similar to that Burnett Jesus film that pretty much made Mary Magdalene the third disciple. I'm looking at a screenshot of the Chosen on the website that, you know, where the kids look at videos and stuff and it's got the picture. It's a screen grab. Well, it's Jesus and the disciples. And, oh, there's Mary Magdalene. Is it possible that in the future, Mary Magdalene is going to be elevated to a role that would not be biblical? It's a possibility, but so far, that didn't happen. Is this enough for it to disqualify itself from you or not? Next on Wretched Radio. Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
You are the peanut butter to our jelly, the shampoo to our conditioner, the butter to our popcorn. You are Wretched monthly gospel partners, and without you, there is no Wretched. So if you are already a gospel partner, we are so extremely grateful for you and your faithfulness. Every dollar you give goes directly into supporting Wretched and sharing the gospel with thousands. So thank you. Thank you very much. Now, if you're not a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one today? Visit wretched.org/donate. See, while our TV and radio programs are available to everyone, we need the support from our gospel partners to produce everything we produce. The more you're able to give, the more we are able to give away. So if you would consider becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner, go to wretched.org/donate today. That's wretched.org/donate.
If and you are a preborn.org/wretched supporter providing ultrasounds and even ultrasound machines, this is a great big thank you from South Florida.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room because our mission is to save lives, save souls in South Florida. And in this very room, that specific thing happens. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way. Thank you for your ministry to the unborn.
Ultrasounds save lives, but preborn clinics need ultrasound machines first. If you could provide a machine or if you could provide a $28 ultrasound, whatever it is, your support for preborn, it saves lives, it saves souls, it saves families. You can become a preborn supporter at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The mission ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the mission ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support The Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Books of the Bible. The book of James is much like Proverbs for the New Testament, employing a concise and memorable style with a simple yet profound message. Christians should think and act like Christians. It is very easy to understand, but exceptionally difficult to obey. This ought to lead us to repentance and a fresh reliance upon the grace of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
21st century influences? Yeah, probably. This is Wretched Radio, a review of The Chosen. It's a 8-part first season mini-series. It is about the life of Jesus Christ, of course, the Chosen One. Many reviews, not a lot of them being very critical, frankly. There are some observations that would say, yeah, but I have not read one that was like, eh, thumbs down on it. There are some things that may disqualify it for you. If it's an issue of conscience, don't watch it. If some of these issues, which Michelle Leslie and others are pointing out, if they're a problem for you in that it detracts from your understanding about Jesus, I would say then don't watch it. There is another issue that I don't think anybody brought up that I think is worthy of all of our consideration for ourselves and especially for our kids. Now, whether it was delivered well or not, nevertheless, I think even Phil Vischer, he even pointed out that portraying Bible characters as vegetables, it can do something. Now, with the Veggie Tales, it might be teaching the kids it's just kind of a play, and they changed the details enough where the story of Jonah wasn't an actual historical event. There's dangers in doing these types of things. I'm not saying disqualifiers, but there are considerations in when we present something in the Bible in a way that isn't entirely biblical. Not sinful per se, but can have some consequences. If your kids watch something like The Chosen, and that's totally up to you whether you do or don't, is it possible that they will think the embellishments are biblical? That they'll be learning, oh, that's what happened. Why don't I have that in my Bible? Or they might bring that into their understanding of a theological position, or it might forever be there as something that they think Jesus really did, or something that he said when he didn't. That's going to be a decision that you have to make, Mom and Dad, which is why I would encourage you when you watch a show like this, bring your Bible to the party. And if something is said or done, hit pause. And then it's your responsibility to point out, hey, wait a second. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and he asked Nicodemus, what does your heart say? No, let's just talk about this. First of all, that's not in the Bible. Remember, this speech that we see from Jesus and the disciples and all the characters, most of it, not all of it, most of it is not in the Bible. Furthermore, the Bible does talk about the heart. And the last thing that we want to follow is our emotions. We don't follow our heart. That is Disney language. That is not biblical language. So it is very difficult to imagine that Jesus would ask Nicodemus to follow his heart when his heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? Jesus wouldn't contradict himself in his word. And so you want to be pointing these things out so that your kids don't just accept it. Medium of the visual arts, very, very powerful. You need to make that decision, Mom and Dad. There are some other things that you should be aware of, and then you make a decision. I think I counted 5 or 6 things that I wish they hadn't done that. I just read the reviews. I haven't seen the show. That you need to weigh. Put it on a scale and weigh whether you want to watch this or whether you want to watch it with your kids or not. One of the big concerns that Michelle Leslie in her review had was the role of Mary Magdalene, who in that Mark and Roma Downey Jr. Barnett.
Mark Burnett and Roma too. Downey.
Did he play that role in the 60s? Is he the father of Timothy Hutton? Whatever. The role of Mary Magdalene was clearly elevated to an unbiblical level. Very problematic in that series. Michelle's saying, they're kind of apparently making every effort to demonstrate Jesus was really had a high view of women. And Mary Magdalene is being used as that character in particular to demonstrate Jesus isn't this sexist, misogynist, horrible, just men had the patriarchy. And could it be that in the future they might elevate Mary Magdalene to an inappropriate level? There are hints of that, but as of the first season, the answer is no. Could be in the future. As mentioned a few moments ago, there was a scene at the Shabbat meal where Jesus asked Mary Magdalene to lead the Shabbat prayers reading. That just wouldn't happen. Now, without getting hypercritical and picking every single nit, even though that is my spiritual gift, maybe yours too, is it a foretaste of what is to come? An elevating of women to a more societally sympathetic place? We'll see. Nevertheless, toward the end of the episode, this is episode 5, Simon and Jesus kid around about Andrew's lack of grace when it comes to dancing. Okay. Can be nothing wrong with that. That can be good humor if it's not hurtful. Simon then asked Jesus if he would change Andrew into a better dancer. And the words the writers put into the mouth of Jesus were, "Some things even I can't do." Humor? Absolutely, Jesus was humorous. Would it be a joke that even I think took a shot at his deity and his omnipotence? I don't think so. This was probably the one thing that I read that was the strongest. Ooh, didn't like that. Is that a disqualifier for you? You be the judge. Episode 6. In the portrayal of the men who bring the paralytic to Jesus, while men are the ones actually carrying the paralytic on a litter, Tamar, a woman, a friend of the paralytic, leads the way, and it's made clear this is all her idea. When Simon attempts to stop the entourage from pushing their way through the crowd to Jesus, Tamar is the one who pleads with him, and Mary Magdalene reproves him. Moments later, Tamar is the one who comes up with the idea of going through the roof, and Mary Magdalene assists her. Once the hole is made in the roof, Tamar calls down to Jesus and asks him to heal her friend, and Jesus says to her, "Your faith is beautiful." Any problems with that repainted scene? And the answer is, yeah, that seems to be one of the ones that actually does contradict the Bible. There's two issues. First of all, very, very clear that the Bible teaches it was men that were doing that. Luke describes the scene and refers to the men a lot. It is not necessary to change what was really clear in the Bible. So that's a problematic scene. That's one that could get into your kid's brain. Hey, weren't there women who were kind of leading that deal with the house and the roof and the dropping them through? And the answer is no, it was men, because Luke makes it really, really clear in Luke 5, verse 18 and following. Furthermore, and now this is, again, this is not to pick a nit, but could it be this is, again, a contemporary portrayal of Jesus trying to make sure that the world that might be eavesdropping, that might be watching this, okay, all right, so women, they play a role in this. Jesus is cool with women. Okay, the Bible isn't as harsh as everybody has been trying to tell me it is. Maybe. I don't know them. I don't know. It's something to be aware of. Would it disqualify it for me? This scene for me, it wouldn't be a disqualifier for me. You have to make that decision for you. Add all of this up. Put it into a basket. Shake it around and see what you come up with. Other than the joke about Jesus, about his deity, what does your heart say? Not great, but overall, the reviews for The Chosen, most people are saying it's edifying, and actually a few of the scenes were really, really emotional. I can't remember. It was one of the disciples who said something like to Jesus, "We've been waiting for you for so long." She said it moved her to tears because you got a sense of the heart of somebody who is this long-expected prophet that they've been talking about, that the Bible has been screaming about, that was promised to come and deliver us. Whatever their understanding of deliverance was, they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And so when Andrew, I believe, expresses, at least in The Chosen, "We've been waiting for you for so long," for her, that echoed the cry of her heart, and it brought it to life, and it was really edifying for her. You need to make that decision for yourself. I remember when I first listened to Chuck Swindoll, suddenly one morning, I wish we could play it, but you can't find it out there. It's under lock and key, those rascals at Insight for Living. Open it up, Chuck. Open it up. It's magnificent. And his reading, I'll never forget, it's a shopkeeper. Jesus is coming into town, and he sees him, and he locks eyes with Jesus Christ. And he just comments on just how Jesus seemed to just pierce into us by looking at him with such a look of tender compassion. And I can't remember if I've got this right, but later, the same shopkeeper runs out with the crowds to see the crucifixion, and he hears the hammer hitting the nails going through his wrists and through his ankles. And he hears the cracking of the hammer with the nail splitting flesh and wood. And Chuck Swindoll, like only he can with his magnificent voice, said, "It was awful." Some of those portrayals that are some embellishments or physical recreations of the Bible can be very, very powerful. Some can be very, very dangerous. Regarding The Chosen, you've now heard the review. The choice is up to you. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's your invitation to support SOS Ministries. They want to see a God-fearing, gospel-proclaiming church rise up across Uganda and impact the whole of Ugandan society. SOS Ministries hopes to accomplish all of this with community outreach, Legacy Christian Academy, the Ministry of Church Strengthening, and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. So would you consider supporting SOS Ministries? Go to sosministries.com. sosministries.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Perkinis. Survey says 44% of American believers think Jesus sinned. That's part of the latest findings of the American Worldview Inventory 2020. The survey also found a dramatic decline in the number of Americans who hold to a biblical worldview. According to the survey, about 51% of American adults have a traditional view of God, as opposed to 73% who held that view in 1991. My private education math skills tell me that's about a 22% drop in about 30 years. Regarding belief in Jesus, 44% of the surveyants believe in Jesus. They also believe he sinned. 41% say he did not. 52% believe the Holy Spirit is not really a living entity, but merely a symbol of God's power, presence, or purity. Additionally, the survey revealed more people believe in Satan, 56%, than believe in God, 51%. As an influential spiritual being. Am I the only one thinking that doesn't make any sense? Additionally, 49% are unsure if God exists at all. Dr. George Barna wrote in a statement regarding the survey's findings, "Tens of millions of Americans consider themselves to be Christian, but do not believe that God is really in control or cares what happens to them." He noted the shift in worldview from 30 years ago, saying that people went from learning and thinking about God to becoming more self-absorbed, rejecting the existence of absolute moral truth. In an interview with CBN News, Barna noted that people act more on fear and rely more on the government than on God, who is not in the equation in difficult circumstances. The survey also found 51% of pastors on the Barna Church panel reported an increase in virtual church attendance over in-person church attendance. And before you think pandemic, the survey was conducted in January. Lord have mercy. A member of Prime Minister Boris Johnson's cabinet signaled last week the government may move to ban transgender treatments for minors out of a desire to prevent irreversible damage. Liz Truss, who is the Minister for Women and Equalities as well as Minister of State for Trade Policy, made the comments to a parliamentary committee last week, saying to Sky News, "I believe strongly that adults should have the freedom to lead their lives as they see fit. But I think it's very important that while people are still developing their decision-making capabilities, that we protect them from making those irreversible decisions." The government's new rules would apply only to those under the age of 18. Her comments come 4 months after a Sky News investigation discovered National Health Service doctors were overdiagnosing gender dysphoria for children out of fears they would be branded transphobic. Wow, there's a reason for a diagnosis. Let's hope that this actually happens and it's not just so much bluster. More Wretched Radio straight ahead. I'm Tony Verchinis.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wow. Tony, you totally biffed it, man. This is Wretched Radio. We've gotten to the bottom of the issue. Joey, Jeffrey, who was the one who
Jeffrey Hunter played Jesus in King of Kings and then later played Captain Christopher Pike in the Star Trek pilot episode. Yeah. He was not related at all to Tab Hunter. Nor did
he. Or Craven the Hunter.
Yes.
Or
Timothy Hutton.
None of them.
So, Tony, you were totally wrong about everything.
Biffed it big time.
I thought it was his dad, quite honest, the kid from Ordinary People. I'm sure he's got other credits since then. That's the only thing I remember. And, wow, that was another one of those movies. I believe that movie is rated R, Ordinary People. I remember watching that movie because I was quite young. Shouldn't have been in the theater, I suspect. There was no swearing back then. Did you know that? When the movie Ordinary People was made, when I was a pagan, there was not a swear word to be found. So then it's on the TV, the cable thing or whatever. Maybe we even bought, I don't know, but was seeing it. And kids, get out of the room. I couldn't believe how much swearing there was.
They
in that
edited
bad
those in later.
After I actually got saved.
Yeah.
Well, that would explain why I didn't hear it when I was a pagan. It wasn't actually there. All right, so gentlemen, based on the review of The Chosen, you going to watch that bad boy or not?
No, I never really respond well to on-screen portrayals of the Bible.
All right, okay. Even what if it's word for word? That still kind of get up your nose?
Yeah.
Not as much?
It doesn't get up my nose as much. I kind of enjoyed the Matthew one. I really enjoyed the Gospel of John, but still... I'd rather just read it.
Okay, the Gospel of Matthew. That was the fellow that played that was
Bruce Marciano. Marciano.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what? The people who made that, and I think the Gospel of John, if I'm not mistaken, we talked to that guy, right? Both of those guys.
And he's related to Timothy Hutton.
Ah, did not know that. But both of those folks gave us they said, if you ever want to use it, feel free. They were very cool about it. It wasn't a rights or sign a form or pay for the one. They were very cool about that. And if I remember, the guy who played in the Gospel of John.
Henry Ian Cusick.
That's the fellow right there. We talked to him, and his profession, at least at the time, I thought was like pretty decent. I hope he's saved, and I hope he's still walking with the Lord. That would be super cool. Nevertheless, that Matthew video, it demonstrated Jesus more in his humanity, showing him kidding around with the disciples like the series The Chosen does. And for that, I actually appreciated it. And I thought Bruce Marciano was the guy responsible for that because I remember, I think we talked to him once on air. We interviewed him. And he said he didn't want that stoic Tab Hunter sort of Jesus playing
Jeffrey
role.
Hunter?
Whatever.
Max von Sydow?
Whatever.
Max.
He wanted him to be demonstrated as being a likable human, which he was fully human. He is fully human and fully God. He's our ideal model. He is the one that we should be trying to emulate as much as possible in every single regard. And so when he brought that out, I thought it was cool. Now, watching some movie once recently, within the last year, there was a preview of a guy playing a modern day Jesus who showed up in a diner and did a miracle or something to help out. And you know who is playing the role of Jesus? Bruce Marciano. Now, if you don't have a hard time imagining Jesus could have looked like he was about 60, it worked. Otherwise.
Hey, we believe 30-year-olds are in high school, so.
Why not? Oh, speaking of 30-year-olds in high school, received several people responding to a question that was asked here, I believe last Friday on Wretched Radio. Why are Christians not getting married as early as they used to? Now, obviously, there's a gazillion answers for that, and every scenario is a little bit different. But this one, somebody, it struck me, sent a letter that said, look, I want to get married. I want to find a godly woman. I can't. I'm looking. I'm trying. I'm trying to be godly. I'm trying to be mature. And I've got my eyes open because I really would like to be married and all of its benefits and all of its joys and all of the beauty that it is, the transcendent nature of marriage. I want it. Can't find them. And I do hear that lament a lot. That before, you know, the Christian veneer thing was enough for many, but for genuine believers who understand, I do not want to be unequally yoked, because that is a mess. If you're young and you're thinking about compromising because you want to get married so badly, well, she said she watched some of the Billy Graham Crusade once.
Yeah, it's close.
Part of it. Well, not the whole segment, but she said she really liked it. So I think she's saved. You just inviting pain into your world if you get unequally yoked. So to you, if you are young and you are godly and you desire a godly mate, I truly feel for you. I will say this, for whatever this is worth, this is my opinion, which in my estimation is always right. You may not agree. I have no problem with those dating services. I really don't. I don't see anything wrong with that. And with casting a bigger net to find somebody, because look, the pickings, they are slim. I would actually say this, the pickings for women are slimmer than they are for men. I think there's more godly young ladies than there are godly young men. Just my observation and what I hear going from church to church, back when we used to be able to do that. The lament is, where are the men? Where are the godly men? And I see a reason why there are fewer godly men. They are consumed by so many distractions that are not healthy. The porn plague, it is a scourge. And look, sexual drive should drive a man in part to marriage. It should drive you to be more godly, and it should drive you to be more holy, so that an actual godly woman is going to say, yes, I am willing to be your mate till death do us part, and my body will belong to yours, and yours will belong to me. And the desires that a man has, if he lets them go unbridled, he never grows in godliness. He never grows in maturity, and he doesn't have that need, so he's not looking. He's got that need satisfied, he thinks, with pixels on a computer screen or on his telephone, and he's missing the boat. I think that's a big part of the explanation for why men are not getting married. They don't think they need to get married. I'm sure there's other issues. All right, gentlemen, you know somebody who says, I can't find a mate. Do you encourage them to eharmony.com, or do you just say, well, just wait on the Lord and God will provide?
I go with the first.
Thumbs up or down. You like it?
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it requires discernment, because not all of those sites are good, and not all the people on those sites are actually looking for
right
godly.
But you know what? Okay, you know what? I've heard that objection before, and this is not dating advice or website advice, but aren't the dangers of a website the same as meeting them anyplace?
Oh yeah, but
I mean, somebody can be misrepresenting themselves as a total phony.
Yes.
So you still need to practice, I think, safety a lot with those, or frankly with anything else, because plenty of guys can put on a show, but they're not all that in a bag of chips. Tony, you advise them to do the dating service, Delio?
Sure. Right. No, wait.
All right, so let's
I don't
just
know,
say,
because I'm
you've
not
got
big
a
into
daughter,
the computer
and
thing.
She's 20, and she, Dad, I need to get married. And you say, just find somebody at church, dear. How many eligible young men is she going to find in your church of 8 people?
My daughter was already married at 20, so I don't know.
What if there was an L Harmony? LutherHarmony.com.
It That'd
was
be closer. Just for... See, I'm still old school. I'm thinking sooner or later that person is going to cross your path.
It could happen.
That's what could happen. So I met my wife. So
it's getting trickier.
Yeah.
Thought of a Luther quote. That's very helpful. Somebody was that I received an email from was struggling with really bad streamer thoughts, with blasphemous thoughts running through their brain. He didn't articulate what they were. It doesn't make any difference. But it was like, all of a sudden, I get this horrible thought in my head. Am I not saved? And Luther was very helpful in this regard. Luther said, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Your brain, it's got synapses. Look, it's not a glorified brain. It still feels the effects. We're still groaning with our fallen noggin. And just because you get a stupid thought, it doesn't mean you're apostate. It doesn't mean that you actually even think it or believe it or desire it. It's just a stupid thought. Now, do you want to just ignore it? No, I think that even that would be something, Lord, I hate that those thoughts happen. Please forgive me. I don't want them. So please help me to fill my brain so full of your word and your truth that there's no room for stupidity running around up there. So I think that it can be repented of. I wouldn't turn it into this massive sackcloth and ashes sort of affair. I wouldn't let it hobble you or debilitate you. The more you fill your brain with truth, the less room there will be for error. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head. Temptation. But you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate when you spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners. It's their generosity that allows us to create great resources like Road Trip to Truth. Road Trip to Truth is our video series hosted by John Fabares that's coming to a Wretched store near you soon. This video series was on the road at college campuses, hence the clever title, Road Trip to Truth, talking with college students about the tough issues that they face. Like, why is there evil in this world? Is there really only one way to heaven? Is Jesus really God? And John got to share the gospel with them. You get a bird's eye view, and hopefully ideas on how you can share your faith with this depressed, anxious, and lost generation. Road Trip to Truth is coming soon, made possible by our gospel partners. If you'd like to join us as a gospel partner, wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on it.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you. Get it. Read it. Then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Can you hear the snark? This is Wretched Radio. Typically, when somebody is accused of being snarky or mean, it would be conservatives, Bible thumpers. Hey, that opinion, that attitude, that's not like Jesus. He just ate with sinners and he just loved everybody. And you're just being really mean and hypercritical. And, ooh, you said something really nasty. Wow. Wait till you hear this gem. This is presented in The Atlantic, which kind of caught me by surprise, written by Jonathan Merritt. He is a writer, I guess, is what he's the son of James Merritt. And he has demonstrated he's moved from conservative evangelicalism to liberalism. And he wrote an article, some of the most visible Christians in America are failing the coronavirus test. And wow, at least the snark is right there. So if you think that it's only conservatives who are ever guilty of being pretty sharp, woo. This one will cut like a knife. He writes, if the coronavirus is a test of our collective character, some American Christians are flat out flunking. That's strong language. Who does he have in view? Consider the popular pastor, John Piper. He named names. Hey, we're not supposed to name names. Well, this liberal most certainly did. He was asked what he would say to pastors who claim that the pandemic is God's judgment on sinful cities and arrogant nations. Quote from Piper, God sometimes uses diseases to bring particular judgment upon those who reject him and give themselves over to sin. How can you not agree with that?
Okay.
That's thoroughly biblical. It's demonstrated repeatedly in the Old Testament. Furthermore, it is explained explicitly in the New Testament. God does judge. Romans 1, even now he is pouring out his judgment. Right now he is doing. He doesn't wait for eternity. He can do it right now. It's his prerogative. And furthermore, Jesus made it so clear, Luke 13, unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. This is a message to you to repentance. This is a judgment that is going on. Wake up, pay attention, listen to the message. Repent. According to Jonathan Merritt, that makes John Piper a flunking Christian, a failure as a Christian. You know, this kind of reminds me of that meme, and it's true. And please note again, we have worked very hard here at Wretched to not enter into the debate about what are the statistics, what do they say, what do they don't say, open, close, quarantine too much, the consequences worse than the disease, all of that. That's not what we do here, and it's just, my opinion is just that, my opinion, and it ain't worth sharing. So we have strived to find that line. So please keep that in mind. This is true, and this isn't just true regarding coronavirus. Somebody did a meme, and it on the left hand side, it might have been Babylon Bee. On the left hand side, it was you say, yep. You know, I'm not so sure about the statistics. They hear you hate people and want them to die. You say something like, Maybe we should take a look at other considerations besides the statistics. They hear you hate people and want them to die. And that's so true, isn't it? Smaller government, fewer programs. You hate the poor. No, I didn't say that at all. I just think that, you know, you teach them to fish instead of just giving them you hate the poor. No, I just thought it'd be better to equip them so that they could be some self-sustaining because work is really good. You hate the poor! Okay. You know, I was thinking that, you know, a baby in the womb should be protected. You hate women! Well, no, I like human beings and I don't want them to die in the womb. So you really hate women? Yeah, I guess that's what I said. And surprisingly, I would think somebody like Jonathan Merritt, a little more sophisticated in his thinking through these issues, would catch that he was guilty of that very thing. He writes, like many others, I'm struggling to make sense of how those who follow the teachings of Jesus, known for healing the sick, should shrug their shoulders at mass death and heap pain on the grieving. Well, who's doing that? So just take Piper's quote that this is God's judgment on some people. He doesn't say who. He doesn't identify it in that regard. I think that's up to everybody to figure out. God is speaking through coronavirus. He speaks through everything because nothing is a mistake or an oops, that one snuck by. Oh, I'll have to catch that and reel that one back. No, he is in charge of everything, including coronavirus. Does that mean that we're saying we hate people, that we're insensitive to the plight of people? Absolutely not. And yet this level of argumentation, honestly. Quote, get ready for some snark. This kind of stark, self-righteous insensitivity makes non-religious people despise Christians. Okay, all right. So we hate women. We hate the poor.
And we want people to die.
Yeah, we want people to die. Okay, I'm tracking. A prominent church in Texas recently paid for a billboard to ask commuters, is the coronavirus a judgment from God? How dare they ask that question? People are asking it. People are asking the big questions right now. What is the proverb? Is it the Psalms? It is better to spend a day in the... No, or is it Ecclesiastes? It's in the Old Testament. It's better to spend a day in the house of mourning than a day in the house of rejoicing. It's got to be a proverb. Joey, you want to check that out? House of rejoicing, house of mourning. You learn stuff. You get things. It's fun to go to a wedding. It's better to go to a funeral because you remember how fleeting life is, that it's a vapor and that I should be getting my priorities straight. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. You learn a bunch of stuff. And when bad things happen to all people, because nobody does good and nobody not one, it gets our attention and we ask questions. And the Bible makes it clear. What else? I mean, if it comes from God, if he even permits it or is causing this, whichever way you want to try to figure it out, I personally don't care. But nevertheless, God is sovereign over coronavirus, right? He's doing nothing. He's up in heaven worried like most people are. Oh, no. I don't know what's going. What can I do with this? I better call a meeting and figure out something. I got to figure out a way to make some lemonade out of this lemon. Not a chance. So what else is God doing? The Bible actually tells us. Now, please keep in mind, I don't think you and I can make direct proclamations. There are seven sinners on the Upper West Side on 32E in New York City. Yeah, this is because of them. We can't do that. God's mind is inscrutable. We don't know his thinking and what he's doing and everything, but he reveals enough to us to be able to say, this is how God works, and this is what he does. What is it, Joey?
It is Ecclesiastes 7:2. It is better to go into a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, because that is the end of every man.
You learn stuff. And I don't know what Jonathan is after here, other than it seems that he has a little bit of an axe to grind for people who would say that the Bible is clear enough when it tells us that God is calling people to repentance in this. And this is God pouring out his wrath on whom? I don't make that proclamation. Nobody does. But it doesn't make us haters when we do. We could turn this game around. We could turn this game around. So to Mr. Merritt. So you don't believe that the Bible tells us what God is up to with coronavirus? That is correct, Todd. So you hate the Bible? I mean.
Okay, it still sounds childish.
No matter how you slice it. It doesn't help, he writes, that such high numbers of America's faithful, particularly, this is not going to come as a surprise. By the way, this is page 3 of 4. Pretty small type, too. Lengthy. It doesn't. Can you guess what his gripe is going to be?
Going to be evangelical Christians?
Somebody would call
himself
a progressive Christian, particularly
conservative.
Oh no! Keep going. You're going to hear it, and you're going to hit yourself in the forehead.
Okay.
It doesn't help that such high numbers of America's faithful, particularly white evangelicals.
There we go.
Yep. Continue to publicly support a president who is emblematic of the very attributes that so many loathe about believers.
Wow, there we got to there. Is.
Look, like it or not, evangelicals are lumped in with this president, like it or not. And I'm telling you, it comes with a cost because that fellow is so hated. And if you in any way, shape or form are identified with him, they are nuts about you. You do with that as you see fit. But we would be foolish to not be mindful of it, especially when it comes to evangelism. So here are the closing words. The earmark of Christianity is kindness, compassion, and supernatural love. It's not fighting back, attacking enemies, settling scores, or leveraging other people's pain for your own advancement. Hey, wait a second. Isn't that what the last 3.5 pages were about here? Attacking enemies, settling scores, and fighting back? Isn't that the whole point of this thing?
Pish posh.
Some of the most visible Christians in America, it seems, need to go back to Sunday school and discover the loving roots at the core of this great religion's message. Huh. Well, okay. All right. Now, having said all of that, nevertheless, we don't like the criticism. Maybe you don't even like the critiquer. Is there any truth in it at all? Gotta ask. That's what the wise proverbial man asks. Okay, I didn't care for that whole shebang. Nevertheless, are we willing to stop and go individually, not you for me, not me for you, individually? Am I guilty of any of that? If it is true, then we repent, because that's what Christians do. Even when it's delivered in a package of snark! Until tomorrow, go serve your king.